want to try and do what we need to do in good time and see if we can spend some quality time praying. Now, that's going to be a very tall order today, but we'll try. Praying, this is the third part we are looking at, praying. We have so far looked at how many Christians now in terms of prayer. I'm asking, who are they? The prayerless Christian and the praying amiss Christian. The prayerless Christian is who? Who is the prayerless Christian? He does not pray at all, yes. What else do we know about him? Why is everybody looking at my face? What else do we know about the prayerless Christian? No. Prayerless Christian does not pray at all. He complains. He quarrels. He's at war with everyone. What else do we know about the prayerless Christian? He gossips, he backbites, he puts other people down, and so on. He's a noisemaker. Praise the Lord. Then the prayer that this Christian, who is this fellow? He prays. Actually, he might be praying always. But what's the problem with the man? His prayers are selfish. What else? His prayer is not according to the will of God. What else? They are carnal. They're with wrong motives. They're with wrong motives. They are fleshly. They are contrary to God's will, to God's plan for his life. He's like an adulterer. His affection he has given to something else, has given to the world. Praise the name of the Lord. So the praying of this Christian, in essence, is a worldly Christian. Is a worldly Christian. The prayerless Christian is a fighter. He's just a complainer, a quarrelsome man, a fighting man in the physical. He has nothing to do with the spiritual. Today we want to move to, you remember we gave three categories before. What were the three categories we gave? Prayerless Christian, praying amiss Christian, and praying aright. But in the course of prayer, after the first meeting we had, the Lord said actually there is a fourth one. That's the one we want to look at today. The praying-less Christian. There's a prayerless and there's a praying-less. The difference between the prayerless and the praying-less is that the praying-less prays, but he prays less than the time, the period he ought to pray. So there's a praying-less Christian. And this is where, unfortunately, all of us, I don't know about a lot, all of us are here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I want to look at the praying-less Christian. But let me speak for myself. I am in this category. Maybe you are not. I'm sure some of you are. Some of you pray a lot. So, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The praying-less Christian, like I said, actually prays. In fact, he does not pray amiss. He prays aright. He's not missing the mark. The praying amiss Christian may actually be praying always. The problem is, he's always praying amiss. He's always praying wrongly. He's always praying for his motives. He's always praying against the will and counsel of God. The prayingless Christian, on the other hand, does not pray amiss. He prays aright. The problem is, number one, he does not pray always. He does not pray always. He prays intermittently. He prays sometimes, but not always. He prays only on Sundays in the church. A prayerless Christian doesn't even pray on Sundays in church. When they ask him to pray, he sits down there and is complaining. What am I praying this prayer for? Nothing is going to happen. This, blah, 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 blah. But the prayingless Christian can actually pray on Sunday in church. He'll shake. He will join the congregation in shaking the building when we say, let us pray. Then that is where his praying ends. He believes he has prayed sufficiently for the week until the next time he comes to church. He hears a message. The message touches him. He actually prays about the message there and then in church. But that's where it ends. After that, it's done. He's preoccupied with other things. So he does not always pray. He prays intermittently, he prays sometimes. Secondly, he does not pray through. He does not pray through, but gives up, loses heart. He will pray up to a point and then stop. So he doesn't pray something through. He gets weary along the way. In Luke chapter 11, when the Lord was giving us an illustration of prayer, He said, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks does what? And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. The problem with the prayerless Christian is he asks but stops even before he receives. He seeks but gives up before he finds. He knocks, but after a while, what happens? He goes away. He doesn't keep knocking until the door is open. The issue with this parable that the Lord Jesus told is that he went to his friend asking for something and actually became a nuisance until his friend had to get up. His friend did not get up because he's a friend. Do you understand? Why did his friend get up? Who can tell me? Because he was disturbing him. He got up to stop the disturbance. A prayerless Christian is not importunate, is not persistent, and therefore does not prevail. So he doesn't pray through. I told you that, I think it was last week, I told you that scripture that ask and you shall receive means ask and keep asking until you receive. He asks but stops. He doesn't ask until he receives. The prayerless Christian, it's not about whether he's praying for 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, which is good, by the way. Because we said, I think 2 weeks ago, that the minimum prayer time should be 1 hour. Minimum. Now, some of us get to 1 hour and say, thank God, it's over. And then that's it. Once we pray 1 hour, we pray for the whole day. It doesn't stop your praying consistently throughout the rest of the day. It doesn't stop you from remembering something that you have asked for and you have not yet received. I can understand if you ask for it, and God says, I have done it. Then when the memory of it comes, what do? You thank God. Well, not, even though I've not received it, I just thank you. Because I know definitely, as you have spoken to my hearing, I will get it. He's not asking anymore. He's getting to the place of what? Waiting to receive. His expectation now that he's waiting for. That's what it is. His expectation mode that he has entered into. But in terms of praying, he prays until he gets something from God. He keeps seeking for that thing until he finds it. For as long as he has not found it, he doesn't stop seeking. He keeps knocking, like this fellow was knocking, until the answer comes. Until the door, that door is open. I think I've told the story before of a pastor who liked to preach keys. Say 10 keys for this, 50 keys for that, 15 keys of this, and so on and so forth. One day he came again to church and said, I want to give you 10 keys to this. The man said, when somebody stood up in front of him and said, Pastor, is enough. Show us the door. And praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord. It's not about the keys per se for this man. It's about the door opening. I can give you 10,000 keys and you will not be able to open the door. In fact, the more keys I give you, the less likely you are to open the door. Because when you see all the keys, you'll be overcome. So which one? How do you even begin to know the one you started with and the one you are going to end? So you can get weary along the way. So it's not so much about the keys as in getting that door to open. Praise the name of the Lord. So the prayerless Christian does not pray through. He gives up midstream. Let's look at another example. I don't know if God will give us, if God will want us to expound more on the next one. Maybe at a later time, but we'll look at it. Luke chapter 18 from verse 2 to 7. The story that now followed this statement which the Lord was referring to, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary. For my adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man,
Yet, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she would weary me. Why was this judge responding to this woman? She was troubling him. He just wanted her to stop troubling him. Let me ask you a question. If the judge had given this woman half justice, would the woman have stopped?
No.
Because she wanted full. So, in order to stop the troubling, the man had to give her justice. Now, let's continue. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what an unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them?
God is not like a man.
God is not like, what do you call him now? A man when it comes to judge justice. He knows how to dispense justice. The question is, how hungry are we to receive from God what God has for us? I don't want to give you the picture that, oh, God is dangling a goodie, and as we are jumping up, he's taking it higher. As we are jumping up, he's taking it higher. No, 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 no. That's not it. There are some things that you just cannot receive by merely praying the usual way we pray. In fact, you know that there are a lot of revelation that come as a result of praying. And as I say praying, I mean much praying. So the people who are praying less are receiving little or no revelation. But the people who are praying much are the people who are receiving great revelation. I was watching a commentary on the football match or something. I think there was this match between Brazil and Italy yesterday. And this young boy, Neymar, 21 year old, took a free kick. And I mean, it was an outstanding free kick. And they were making a comment. One of the footballers that was making a comment and mentioned a particular footballer, as they say Cristiano Ronaldo. So he says, after the practice, after the normal practice session, he will stay behind for another 1 hour practicing those free kicks. And they don't have good weather. And yet, in the cold, he does that. So he said, the problem is, look at those of us in Africa. We have very good weather. But the moment the coach says, okay, training is over, what happens? Everybody carries their kick, they're going to play. And I gain something there. It's the same thing with us in prayer. Once church is over, bam, we close the Bible, we close the prayer, until the next time church comes. And we want to be victorious. And we want to be able to preach the way others are preaching. We want to receive the kind of gains that God gives to people who have broken through in prayer. You cannot pray less and get the much that comes to those who pray much. You cannot pray less and receive the kind of revelation that God can give only to those who pray much. Praying much actually breaks down the flesh. It puts the flesh in a place where the flesh can no longer rise up. Prayer is one of the, when I say praying, I mean they are talking of praying aright, praying correctly. Is one of the weapons that we use in killing the flesh completely and totally. And that is why when a man has spent time praying in the presence of God, he comes out knowing that there is victory. Your faith is so sure. You come out, you see everywhere is still turning upside down, but you know inside of you that there is victory. Why? Because you are in the spirit. If only you could try it and say, Lord, for the next 30 days, I want to pray at least 3 to 4 hours a day without disturbance. Let me tell you one thing. The minute you make that pronouncement, the minute you make that decision that you want to do that, the opposition you are going to come against, you won't believe it. Because the devil knows that once you get into that, you are going to break through in the spirit realm. So you are going to be opposed. And it's not going to be opposition the way you think. It may just be one family problem that will come up. And before you know what's happening, you're going to be running all over the place trying to solve that family problem. By the time you finish the day, you'll be wondering, what was it that was running all over the place? Because the devil was trying to make sure that you don't get into that place of prayer. I remember going for a program in the United States in 1999. And I don't know whether it was because of the time difference, but I believe it was just the sheer grace of God that came, because it was an 11-hour time difference from Nigeria and time. And the grace of God was just immense. I spent 30 days in that program. And those 30 days, I must have prayed nothing less than 6 to 7 hours every day. I couldn't sleep. I think it was partly because of the time difference. Because by the time we were waking up, Nigerians are sleeping. By the time we're supposed to be sleeping, Nigerians are actually awake. So I just wasn't sleeping. So all the assignment, it was a very intensive conference. It was such that it was actually a training program. would go for a program, go for a lecture in the morning, and that day they'll give you an assignment that you must, that you must submit within a few days or a week or two. It was very intensive. It was a leadership training thing. There were several, for every course you do, there are assignments. So you could sleep or you could not sleep. It depends on you. I had a roommate. It was, I think my roommate was from Brazil also. He was what you call an enjoyment officer of the highest order. He had his credit card. He had rented car. Then he had two Egyptian friends. They were from, it was there that we made all those friends. So these were Egyptians. They were extraordinary enjoyment officers. So once it was time to, bam, they're out. As soon as they finish lecture, they're off. They've taken their rented car. They are painting the whole of Hawaii. It was in Hawaii. They go with an island called Maui and enjoy themselves. But for some reason, and it was cold at that time, at night, I would come outside of the, we get to walk the grounds of the compound and be praying, Sometimes I would climb up a tree, hang on a branch and be praying. I just don't know what happened. In that time, there was so much that God showed me. So much. When we are praying less, we are shooting ourselves in the leg. We will not be able to understand the ways of God. We will not be able to appreciate the ways of God. The prayerless Christian is a defeated Christian. Number three. We said number one, he does not pray always. Number two, he does not pray through. He gives up. Number three. Though he does not pray amiss, he is ineffective and ineffectual in praying. He may not pray amiss, so he may actually be praying correctly like you said. But his praying is ineffective and ineffectual. There's no effectiveness in his praying. James chapter 5, 13 to 16. James chapter 5, 13 to 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. So we are saying the prayingless Christian's praying does not avail much. He is ineffective in his praying. He may pray for the sick. The sick may get temporary relief, but there's no total healing. His prayer is ineffective. It does not avail much. He may be a righteous man, but his praying is ineffective and ineffectual. If you go to verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed how? Earnestly. Earnestly. Much prayer. He prayed with much prayer that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I remember one day, I prayed for 6 hours stretch, from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. Wow, I was excited. And I think I did it the second time, and I was overjoyed. There's a joy that comes when you pray like that. And then, I happened on somebody's book, because I think God wanted to show me that thing. It's not being proud about this. I read the book of a man who said he prayed for 24 hours. Suddenly my 6 hours looked like chance. And somebody prayed for 4 hours. What is he doing? And the man, this minister of God, wrote in the book that he prayed for 24 hours and I mean things were happening. He was happy, he was excited. He's like, you know, and I think what God did to me, God was doing it to him. God now, that somebody now brought a book about other people who were praying. And he read in the book of somebody who prayed for 72 hours. No food, no sleep. 72 hours. Suddenly his 24 hours seemed like nothing. And then he said as he continued to read, he read about a man who was trying to eject a tenant. And the tenant would not go. And this man went into a time of prayer. And that this man prayed for 7 days. That's it. That on the 7th day of that prayer, the tenant was packing out of the house. On the 7th day. Suddenly, I realized that as good as praying for 6 hours is, there are others who have achieved times. Do you think it is a 15-minute prayer or a 6-hour prayer that Elijah prayed that made the rains to stop for 3.5 years? Do you think it was that kind of prayer? It couldn't have been.
There is a praying that we are praying in the body of Christ that does not give any, does not release any power. So the body of Christ is filled with noisemakers. We are either prayerless, or we are praying amiss, or we are praying less. And so the power that we should be seeing in our times, we don't see them anymore.
Some of us are content to come to church. It's when the pastor says, let us pray.
We pray because the pastor is giving us the correct thing to pray. So we are praying all right. For 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we are praying.
We close the Bible. We close the book. Thank you, Father. Great meeting. We are out.
The next time we pray again is when we come back to church next Sunday.
And the pastor again says, let us pray. That's when we pray.
But right after that service, till the next time we come to the service, no prayer. And we want to see results. We can't see the results we are getting. Why do you think people are now preaching motivational speeches and not the word of God? They're not praying. There can be no revelation when you are not praying much.
Much prayer brings about revelation. When I say revelation, I mean it's not the one that people go and dream up and say, don't worry, it's not in the Bible. This one God gave it to me in heaven. The Bible makes it clear. Any revelation that does not agree with the word of God, cast it out. It's not from God. It says, if another fellow comes to preach this gospel, a gospel that is contrary to what is written in here, let that man be accursed. So when somebody wakes up and says, I have a new revelation, which revelation is inside here? Solomon himself wrote it. He said, there is nothing that is new under heaven. There is no new thing. What has been has always been. What will be has been. There's nothing new. It's in the Bible here. If it's not in the Bible, it's not a revelation from God. It's as simple as that. Praise the name of the Lord. So the prayingless Christian, though he's not praying amiss, yet he is ineffective and ineffectual in his prayer. We know, you know, the Bible didn't tell us how Elijah prayed before the rain stopped for 3.5 years. I'm sure you know the Bible didn't tell us that. It just told us how Elijah just came on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17 and went to King Ahab and said, Elijah didn't teach right. And he went to King Ahab and said, as I'm standing here as a prophet of God, according to my word, there will be no rain until I release the heavens and he walked in. But the Bible doesn't tell us what happened. It is here that the Bible is saying that Elijah was a man like you and I. This scripture gives me hope in prayer. That there was nothing spectacular about Elijah. It was like you and myself. If we look at the story of Elijah, we know that Elijah did not get married.
So it was a man who probably was trusting God for a life partner.
Not to talk of having children.
Elijah was a man known to put on carnal skin and eating locusts. So if you are talking of living well, Elijah was not living well. If you are talking of clothes, Elijah did not have clothes. If you are talking of the challenges of life that befall many of us, Elijah had it. And yet this man was praying. Do you remember the widow who prayed? No, there was a widow who prayed before Jesus was born. She was a widow at a young age and spent the rest of her life praying till 80 something when Jesus was born.
Was that Anna? Yes, Anna was her name. A-N-N-A.
No wonder God blessed her to see.
There was another man. What's that his name again?
Who? Simeon, who also was praying. And God had told him that he will not close his eyes until he sees the salvation of Israel. There are some things that you are not going to get with the kind of praying that we are praying. We are in a generation that I believe, this is my belief, that God wants to pour out so much that the taps are closed.
Can you imagine a water tank that is full, supplying water, but the taps are closed? Does it stop the water?
Yes, because you have closed it. There is water in the tank, but you have not opened the tank. The volume of our prayer is the way we open the tap. It will pour. But less praying means what we are receiving are just trickles. So you put a bucket under the tap, it will take forever to fill. Because it's just dropping. That's all that's happening. And we need to get ourselves to praying much. The way we chase after contracts, the way we chase after bank loans, the way we chase after plum jobs, the way we chase after things that we delight in, if we diverted those energies into praying, God have mercy. You will not believe the kind of things that will be happening to you.
I remember when I was in university, I was born again. My final year, after my final year, I had a tutu. And my lecturer came and my head of department came and called me and said, Eli, I know you. I know what you're capable of achieving.
If you can just take 10% of the time you are spending playing to read, you will achieve something.
So when I went for my master's, he advised me. He said, you know, bachelor's is different. This one is different. Don't go and be playing.
As soon as you finish your lectures, go to the library. Once they give you an assignment, make sure you go to the library, study. When you have finished studying,
you can go and play.
Then,
again, read again. Read again, play, read, but please take part of your playing time and divert it into reading. I wasn't born again, so what I'm saying now, don't go and copy me.
But I read, I did all of that. Then there was this particular exam. It was actually his course. It was the most difficult course in our master's class. But I followed his advice. A few days to that exam, a friend of mine went and brought this 4-liter bottle of whiskey, brought it home. And then they brought it and we started drinking and then they traveled and I was left alone in the house. They returned from that trip and met me where they left me with the bottle. After 36 hours, they met me, they came and shouted, "What are you doing? Sir, you people left me with this thing. Was I going to allow you to this?" By the time they came, the thing was just a little. I said, "Ray, you wouldn't leave it." I said, "Please, please, please, please." By the time they finally came and the house was noisy, I went to sleep. In the morning, a friend of mine came and said to me, "Ray, please, I need to borrow your car. When can I bring it?" I said, borrow my car. "What's today's date?" He told me, I said, "Kai, I have an exam." I jumped up, just put toothpaste in my mouth and gargled the mouth, put on the clothes and said, "Please, just drop me in the exam hall and you can take the car away." When I got to the exam hall, they were waiting for me. Everybody, in fact, they were happy because they announced to the invigilator that one of our classmates is not here. It's a master's exam, so it's not like bachelor's. So one of our classmates is not here. So when I got there, everybody was studying. I got there with my Bible. That's all I had. There was no book to read. I rushed out of there. When my friend who took the car came back to pick me, he saw me writing. He said, "What is this fellow writing? What could I be writing?" But do you know that was the best course I had, the best result I had. Why? Because of the investment in studies over time. Now, that's a physical thing. I just use that. Don't go and say that. So you can do whatever you like. No. I'm trying to get us to understand. In terms of prayer, the reason why you see certain Christians, they just walk as if nothing is happening to them, is because they have prayed so much that by the time you see them walking, you think they are the same with you. They are not the same. When those people were reading, at that example, I had read the thing they were reading. I had read, say, I had understood it, I could apply it. So all they had to do was wake me up and say, "Exam," and I could write it. It's the same thing when you are praying much. The prayerless Christian doesn't have that reservoir because his praying is just for a short time. We're going to see a few other things about prayerless Christians. Now, but you know, the Bible tells us about how Elijah prayed to release the rain. You remember? Let me ask a question. Was it Elijah's prayer per se that released the rain? God had told him, "I'm going to release the rain." So there was the word of God with now the praying of Elijah to release that rain. There are many things that God wants to do that he will not do until we pray through. So Elijah started praying and prayed and prayed and prayed until one time, what did he do?
He put his head between his legs and told his servant, "Just go and stand there until you see something happen. Come back and tell me."
You pray, the hell will go. Anything, because of that, nothing. 7 times. And I'm sure you know that those 7 times were not, "Father, let it happen. Father, let it go." Has it happened? It was intense. Much praying. We don't know how many hours Elijah prayed for. But I can guarantee you, he prayed longer than a normal service would happen in any church. 7 times. Finally, the servant came and said, "Sir, I see a cloud like the hand of a man." He had received the confirmation that something is about to happen. And at that time, God told him, and he now said to the servant, "Go and tell Ahab, who is enjoying himself, that he should start rushing to Jezreel because the heavens are about to pour." Elijah was running with his legs. Ahab was going with a chariot. And yet, Elijah got to Jezreel before Ahab because of the power. Brethren, I believe that God is sharing this with us today. Because there are things he wants to do. We are the ones limiting him. When people are asking, "Where is your God? Where is this God?" It's because we... When you are not praying, when you don't pray much, you will go to the herbalist to give you power. Many of us are not willing to pay the price in prayer. But we will pay the price to make friends with politicians. We will pay the price to make friends with thieves and crooks and criminals. We are willing to bribe to get a job. We are willing to... Somebody was looking for employment in customs or something and said he needs 150,000. For what? I said, "Well, you need to pay something." Tell me that guy gets that job if he's not going to collect bribe. But that's what is happening. Many of the testimonies that we give in church are never to the glory of God. Rather, they are to the glory of the devil. Because God doesn't make those testimonies happen. And that's because the people are praying less than they should pray.
2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14 to 19. 14 to 19. 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hands on the bow." So he put his hands on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Israel. For you must strike the Syrians and Aphek till you have destroyed them." That's revelation. That's prophecy. That also, there was prophetic action. There was a prophetic utterance. You would expect it to have been done. But let's continue, verse 18. Then he, that is Elisha, said to the king, "Take the arrows." So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck 3 times and stopped. You know, some people, their number is 3, Trinity. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. This was a king who had prophecy. But because his actions are typical of praying, he prayed less than he ought to have prayed. And so he got less victory. Let's continue. Let's look 22 to 25 so we can see that happen. And Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and regarded them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. Now Hazael, king of Syria, died. Then Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his place. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times Joash defeated him and recaptured the cities of Israel. Sometimes you wonder, why didn't he pray a little bit? The bondage or the hand of Syria would have been cut off completely that he prayed less. So that's why we say the praying less Christian, even though he's not praying amiss, is ineffective and ineffectual. There are victories which by now should be total and complete over our lives. But because we are praying less, we are just having them as hiccups. One day is there, the next day we are down. Another day comes, then the next day we are down. And we never really get anywhere with God. So, number one, I said, the prayerless Christian does not pray always. He prays intermittently. He prays sometimes. He prays on Sundays. He prays only on church days. Number two, we said, he does not pray through. He gives up. He loses heart. Ask and keep asking until you receive. He will ask and ask and ask. Even though he has not received, he stops. Seek and keep seeking until you find. He will seek and seek and seek. After a while, he said, "Oh, this seeking is too much." Meanwhile, he hasn't found. He gives up. Knock and knock and knock until the door is open. He will knock and knock and say, "My hand is paining me." And he goes away. But the fellow who will pray through is the man who will knock and knock and knock and until that door is open. Is the man who seeks until he finds. Is the man who asks until he receives. And thirdly, we have said, even though the prayerless Christian may not pray amiss, he is nonetheless ineffective and ineffectual in his prayer. Number four, the prayerless Christian does not break through in prayer. There's no breakthrough for him in prayer. He prays, he gets results, but he doesn't break through in prayer. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. We know the story. Jacob was returning home. He heard that his brother Esau was coming to meet him with a mighty army. Why Esau was coming, he didn't know, but he had presumed, based on what had happened the last time they met, the last time they saw, was that he had stolen the blessing and had run. So now he's returning. And he hears that Esau is coming, so he believes that Esau is coming to kill him. So he does what the normal carnal man would do.
He sends gifts ahead, only to hear that Esau is still coming. So what does he do next? He separates. He uses his normal human sense. He divides his children, the ones that he loves the most. He puts them far away. The ones that he loves less, they are in front. But he is before those ones. And then he sends them at a distance. So they all go. Finally, in verse 24, Jacob is now left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day.
Have we been able to wrestle in prayer till morning?
Many times when we start to pray at 12, by 1 o'clock, when you look at that bed, well laid. You look at the pillow, no hand has touched that pillow. Something, I don't know, do you understand what I'm saying? Something inside of you says, why are you killing yourself? God will do this thing, whether you pray, by 1:05. Father, I bless your name. Father, I give you glory. Lord Almighty, I think I can pray while sleeping, while lying down. So, after 5 minutes, if you were Jacob here, not only would they have beaten you, they would have broken your bones in several places. A wrestling match. I don't know if you've seen our local wrestling. It's not this WWE that they play with. A local wrestling match, when they grab you from the height and put you to the ground, until you shout that you have, there's no referee. They will bend and bend until you say, I give up, before they finally release you. So this man came to wrestle Jacob until the breaking of day. Verse 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Please, who saw that he did not prevail? You know, when you read the Bible, you see so many things being used. Who was it that saw that someone did not prevail against him? God saw that he was not prevailing against Jacob. You see, sometimes, you have to understand this, and for those of you from whom we've discussed the testing of God. Sometimes, God wants to test whether you really mean to pray as you want to pray. So, he came to wrestle with Jacob. How desperate does this man want this thing he's looking for? And he saw that Jacob was not giving up. That's the problem with the praying-less Christian. Number one, he doesn't pray always. Number two, he loses heart. Jacob was not about to give up on this. Let me show you something before we come back to this. The same Genesis chapter 32. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Is that in your Bible? Verse 2. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob saw several angels in a place. He didn't as much as say, please, send something up to heaven. Did he do that? He didn't. Instead, he was engaging in naming ceremonies. This place is called Mahanaim because there are many angels here. That church has power because the power of God is in that place. He didn't pray. The anointing was so powerful in that place. He didn't pray. Now, let's continue there. That's it. Look at verse 3 now. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, and he commanded them and was speaking nicely, and that was when he now heard that Esau is coming. Now there was no angel. What we have now read in verse 24, who came to wrestle with him now? A man, not a school of angels. He didn't give up. There are many things that we take for granted. We say, don't worry, pastor's prayer will cover us. It doesn't. There is the prayer that you have to do yourself. I see a lot of Christians, well, you know, we're excited when I look at some billboards, sometimes I say, do these people even know what they are saying? Say, prepare for the next level. Do you know what's on the next level? You are not even finished with this level. We are talking of some, what the Bible calls them, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the small demons we are still dealing with here. Then you want to go to the next level where there are principalities and powers. You are still dealing with fornication, dealing with masturbation. And you want to go and deal with some princes. You are not overcome here. You want to go. You don't understand what you are talking about. I think there was one man of God that said, the next level you go, you meet the next devil. A higher level is a higher devil. If we knew what we're facing, you first of all succeed in one before you go to the next. Even David, when he was going to face Goliath, what did he say? He said, at times when I'm watching my father's flock, a bear would come and I would smote the bear. A lion would come and I would strike lion and rip its mouth open and rescue the sheep. This Goliath you are seeing here is an uncircumcised Philistine. The same way I dealt with the lion and the bear, the same way we shall deal with this man. The other soldiers had no such testimony.
Many of us don't have testimonies of victory in prayer.
All we talk about is, I went to this man of God, he prayed for me, and there was a solution.
We are like Ahab.
Ahab told this for somebody to come and prophesy, the person will go and pray, Ahab will enjoy.
And there's no victory for that man.
You are just basking on the shoulders of other people's victories. But for you, no victory.
There's no personal victory.
All you enjoy is what you call a corporate victory.
And even in that corporate victory, there are personal failures, personal woes.
A man came to wrestle with Jacob so that he wasn't prevailing and took out the heap of Jacob. Did Jacob let him go?
He didn't. There comes a time, you see, when we talk of a prayerless Christian is easily distracted by things. A Christian who prays much recognizes distractions but keeps praying.
You know, this thing is a distraction. Let me continue. This is the goal.
He doesn't allow anything to distract him. Jacob was not going to allow that heap to distract him.
And he, that is the Lord, that Lord, when the Lord came to wrestle with him, said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know, the Bible and its stories are very interesting. The Bible starts by saying a man came to wrestle with Jacob. So you think Jacob was wrestling with a man. But here, Jacob recognizes that this man is capable of blessing him. A man is capable of blessing him. Should he not have been able to defeat Jacob? Like I said, a lot of times God comes to test how you really need something. The Bible says, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So God wants to know, how hungry is this child of mine for this thing? How really do you need it?
Do you know that if you need something, you are ready to forego every other thing for that one thing?
Remember the parable of the pearl, right? This was a man looking for a pearl. It was a merchant looking for any kind of pearl. Then he saw one pearl of great value. And what did he do? He sold everything for that one pearl.
Sometimes God wants to know, this thing you are looking for, do you consider it so valuable that you are ready to forego everything for that one? It is in that one thing that you have total victory. It was in this one thing that Jacob got the victory that changed his name.
One thing. Remember, he saw angels. He was doing maybe. He came up with an approach to deal with Esau. Then he saw that the approach was not working.
He didn't go to fight the man. The man came to fight him. And he continued. The man removed the hip of his socket. He stood there and continued to pray. And the man said, okay, let me go. It's about daybreak. I'm not letting you go until you bless me.
Pronounce a blessing on me. Now, there's a greater fight here in verse 27. So he said to him, what is your name? There are many times when you are praying, you know, the prayer will get to a point. The Lord will just remind you of something you did. Instantly you withdraw. You withdraw and you say, oh, Father, thank you very much. Because it is a sin that you thought nobody saw. And many of us have lost at that point.
If we knew the victory that repentance brings, we will be repenting each time we commit sin. What is your name? Instantly there was a reminder of who Jacob was, his nature, his character.
You're a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a house fellowship leader, a prophet who has prophesied.
Then they remind you of an unconfessed sin. You just give up. You have lost heart.
But what did Jacob say? He said, my name is Jacob. You know, we just call him Jacob. You know, it had a meaning. What was the meaning of Jacob?
Supplanter. Strongler. The man who takes things by craft. This is what we call the confession. There is a confession that you make in prayer. It opens up everything that had been closed.
I think I told you, was it on Tuesday, the story of T.L. Osborne, who came back on furlough, and saw somebody preaching, and the anointing was moving. I said, how is this man able to do this? And went home and said to his wife, lock me up and throw the key away. Until the Spirit of God tells you to open that door, don't open that door. And he went inside there. He said, for if I die, let me die there. And he was there talking to God. And God began to say to him, you don't know, you have pride. Say, Yes, you have to deal with it. Okay.
As he was praying, God said, you haven't forgiven this person. Is that it? And he dealt with everything in that room.
When finally the wife opened the door, T.L. Osborne became the name that we all know today in Africa. The man who preached and millions will attend his preaching. Nobody made that kind of noise, but he was there. Because he had locked himself up and had dealt with it.
There are many issues that will come up when you get into much praying. So we find that the prayerless Christian has sins that he does not want to discuss.
So when the issue is raised, Father, I thank you. I just give you glory and give you praise for the time you have given me to pray with you. And bam! Carries a board that is good.
It has ended. He's not prevailing. He's not victorious. He's a browbeating Christian.
When you see him the next day, in fact, these are the people that the praise worship leaders are, they will be jumping in church and going to tell, brother, give up.
But because he's grounded, his sins were reminded, and he was not bold enough to go before God and say, Lord, I have sinned. Have mercy. He thinks God has come to condemn him. But God doesn't condemn. God brings us to the place of conviction so that we can confess our sins and be forgiven.
Remember that scripture we read in James chapter 5. If anyone, he said, confess your sins, one, two,
it's part of it.
It's part of the prevailing in prayer. And he said, verse 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and with men and have what? Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. There is a humility that comes as a result of prevailing in prayer. You know that if God did not give you the grace, you wouldn't have been able to prevail.
Jacob recognized this because he said, I have seen God face to face.
He didn't talk about his prevailing. What did he talk about?
That his life was preserved.
The prayingless Christian does not break through in prayer.
And I think if there's anything that we want right now, it's not to attend a breakthrough meeting, but to break through in praying.
Do you understand?
Many of us have, if it's breakthrough meetings, we have gone for breakthrough meetings.
In fact, we have surnamed ourselves breakthrough, but we haven't broken through nothing. We're just bearing the name breakthrough because of the volume of meetings of breakthrough. We have artifacts to show each meeting that we went through, that we went for, where we did each breakthrough meeting, even though we didn't break through. And we are not breaking through because we are not praying the praying that brings the breakthrough. Breakthrough is not one. Breakthrough is what you do in prayer. It's what you do in prayer. Before Jesus started his ministry, he fasted for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know the kind of breakthrough that he encountered in those 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting? We tell you to let us fast for 7 days now. Trouble has started. I remember one man of God who used to walk with me. When we say, let us fast, go and tell her, we're fasting now. In one corner, he will go and say, Pastor, at least I can throw one or two grains of granite. How can you be talking of granite? He said, okay. What of one, at least one biscuit? There are people, when you say, let them, that they should fast, I say, okay, you can drink liquid. They will go and melt ice cream and drink it. Why are you laughing? You do it, you do worse. You drink orange. You say it's fruit fast. What do you mean by that? Fast is fast.
You say this is a fruit fast. We are doing the fast of Daniel. Unpleasant bread fast. When we see the bread, the jam and sardine that you put on that bread, and you call that unpleasant bread fast. And you say you want to break.
I'm telling you the truth. This is it. There's nothing else. Look, I can lay hands on you from now till tomorrow. All that will happen is you will go home.
Then you won't break through. You won't break through.
That is not how you break through. Don't break through like that. The real breakthrough you're looking for is you who will do it in the place of prayer. Not in the place of preaching. Not in the place of boasting. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Oh God, it's not like that. It's in the place of prayer. Where you are browbeating and you are prevailing, and as you are praying, the enemy is fighting against you and you are warring against him.
When the Bible talks about all praying, all manner of prayer.
We're going to discuss that later. We start talking about praying aright. There is a prayer of supplication. There is a prayer of petition. There is a prayer of warfare.
When you enter warfare prayer, within 1 hour, you are sweating. By the time you finish and you are praying in the Spirit, after a while, the Holy Spirit will give you a word to say. Say, start declaring.
Begin to declare.
I come against you, principality and power. He can even give you a name and say, call that name, you call the name. Come against you. As long as you are making that pronouncement, you know what is happening?
There is the authority of God backing that word. And as long as the authority of God is backing that word, it is declaring it in the atmosphere.
Whatever has that name will have to bow. Do you understand? So when God says, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations, it doesn't mean you have to travel. You can stay in your bedroom in prayer and pronounce to the nations. And there is a force, because it's a spiritual thing. It's not until you are shouting, go and call a meeting of 5 million and say, God said I should tell you. No. You do it. Please tell me where Jeremiah traveled to. And yet he was a prophet to the nations. Did he not prophesy to the nations? Did it not happen to the nations? Did any of the nations hear what he said?
Prophesy. And it came to pass.
That's the power that is behind the man that is praying the prayers of prayer. You don't have to do show for anybody. You just declare it and it is done. Because the people that are
the angels that are carrying that word, they are with you. As soon as you speak, they just carry it, bam, and present it. Heaven puts a stamp on top of it. In fact, this is actually the way it works. Heaven wants something done. So heaven sends the word to you. And you pray through. So once it's prayed through, it's taken back to heaven and is now dispersed. And every demon knows that this is now done. That's how it works. So imagine that heaven wants, just for the sake of argument, the whole of Job saved. I receive a revelation that God wants Job saved. What do I do? I pray the banner. Job for Jesus. Is that what they said we should do? I'm asking, is that what they said we should do? The first thing you need to do is go and pray through. You may not even be the one that will go and preach. As you are praying through, God will now wake up someone. Look, Christianity is about people walking. And if that was why you could see the Holy Spirit picking in the first church, picking people in different places and doing the same work. And no one could take credit. As you are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive Job. We receive Job for Christ. We receive Job for Christ. We receive Job for Christ. After a while, you will hear God say to you, now begin to prophesy. From the north, the east, the west, the south, let the resources for it come. You can have no naira in your bank account. The resources may not even be money. Suddenly, you just see people who have a heart. They'll just say, we need to do something about you. They don't know themselves, though. And you just find them meeting one another. We need to do something about you. We need to do something about you. We need to do something about you. Then they'll say, let's do something. Let's call that man of God. They'll go and call somebody. You don't even know. But you see, because you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, what is happening? You are rejoicing. When you see that man, I say, glory be to God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let this ministration be victorious. Let it be this. And you are beginning to prophesy.
Let me tell you a story of a man. Was a young believer, he had just been born again, and there was this older believer who told him that you can break through in prayers. The guy said, are you telling me that if I pray for something that God will do it? He said, yes. So he said to him, okay, let's have a wager. It was an American. So let's have a wager. I wager you $50 that pray on anything, and if God does not give it to you in 6 months, then let's agree that prayer does not work. The guy said, okay. So he said to him, pick any nation in the world. He wasn't doing some small. No. Pick any nation in the world and pray for that nation. And this guy picked the nation of Kenya. He said, why do you pick Kenya? He said, just pick Kenya. And he began to pray for Kenya. I think after about a month or two, he was invited to a meeting. Went for a lunch meeting or something. They went for the meeting and he sat down near some people. And one of the people he sat down beside was a lady. So they were talking. And the lady said, oh, she has an orphanage in Kenya. Suddenly, of course, the man saw his $50 flying away. But he was impressed that, you mean, I pray for Kenya, so I'm meeting somebody in Kenya. And the lady told him the challenges they have, you know, trying to raise money to build the orphanage and this and that. So he said, okay, no problem. So he took it upon himself and raised money for them and sent it to them. They built the orphanage. Meanwhile, he had prayed the 6 months prayer for Kenya and he had forgotten about it. Years later, they finished the orphanage and then invited him to Kenya. That they wanted him to come for the opening. He got to Kenya and in the course of the opening, the president of Kenya was present. So the president of Kenya, the lady introduced the man to the president of Kenya. Oh, this is the man who actually supported our cause. He was one that raised the money. The president of Kenya said, well, wow, thank you very much. Let me show you around Nairobi. So he entered into the car with the president of Kenya. And the president of Kenya was taking him, showing him places in Nairobi, showing him. Then they passed by a place with high walls. The president didn't see anything. So he asked the president, what is there? The president said, don't worry, that's where I keep my enemies. So he said to the president of Kenya that the Bible says that we should show kindness to our enemies, not to imprison them. So I don't think that's the right thing to do. And he left. 6 weeks later, after I returned to America, he got a phone call from the State Department, what is like our foreign affairs ministry. And they said, did you travel to Kenya? I said, yes, I traveled to Kenya. Did you meet with the president? I said, yeah, what business of that is yours? They said, no. We want to know, what did you tell the Kenyan president? He said, what do you mean? He said, we've been trying to get this man to release political prisoners for the past 3 years. And he said he was in the car with an American. And there was something he said. And after that man made that word, after that man said that thing, he had no choice but to release prisoners. So they asked him, what did you say? He said, no, he just told the president that you don't lock up your enemies, you free them. They gave the man an award. From what? Prayer. Brethren, you see all the noise we are making. That I'm going to be a prophet to the world. It is the flesh that is speaking. I want to challenge us to take God up at His word. Pray for something beyond you, for something outside of you, for something that you are not going to benefit from.
And let us see whether God will not do it.
The first thing I'm going to tell you is that it will be in God's hands. By the way, I hope you know that Obama's father is from Kenya.
We don't know. Maybe that is the prayer that put somebody like that. We don't know.
When I see people say, they pray for Nigeria. Why are you praying for Nigeria? Because you are Nigerian. And what is the prayer I pray for? So that things will continue to rule. Or so our righteousness will be entrenched in it. What are we praying? So no breakthrough in prayers. Finally, the prayerless Christian does not pray until the appropriate answer from God comes. In other words, like I said, he prays and then it's over. There's one thing that we used to do in those days. We call it Operation Push. Pray until something.
Now everybody is using it. They pray until nothing happens and nothing is happening.
And every Monday we are pushing.
We're praying until the appropriate answer. Not the word appropriate, not just something.
We're not waiting for anything.
There's an appropriate thing we expect it to happen
until it happens. And I give you an example now. Genesis chapter 18, from verse 16 to 33. This is the story of when God came to meet Abraham and told Abraham that Sarah, your wife, will surely have, I will return, and Sarah, your wife, will surely have a child, and so on and so forth. Now, God is now returning from verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way, escorted them. And the Lord said to himself, that is, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. This is God now telling Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. Even though I came to you, that I actually was my way to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've heard the complaints about it. I want to go and see whether something is really happening or not. I really need to deal with this matter of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's where I'm going to. And now, let's see Abraham. Where was I now? I stopped somewhere. Was it 20? So 22 now. Yeah, 22 now. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood still. Abraham still stood before the Lord. Now we see Abraham in intercession. He had received information. What do many of us do when we receive this information? Broadcast. Thank God for BBM and WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter and all these social media networks is a way for disseminating information without doing anything. Oh, this is what God wants to do. Abraham remained with God. In verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this. To slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous shall be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But looking at somebody who knows God. Say, you are a judge. You just go and kill a whole nation. Kill a whole city. Are you telling me that we don't have 50 righteous people there? Yeah, a judge is you to do right. Will you kill the righteous with the unrighteous?
Verse 26. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
He realized that there will not be 50.
So what does he do? Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes, have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the sake of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. We're talking of a prayingless Christian. Where would the prayingless Christian have stopped at first?
in place of information. Would have been enough. He has information, so he will wait. Some others would at least do a little bit of intercession. But they may have stopped at 50 or 45 or 40. But Abraham continues until he gets to. I'm sure, surely, Abraham would have said, because a lot went, right? I heard that he has married. He has two daughters. His daughters are about to get married. He has counted six already. And then at least some of his household and her husband. 10. That cousin Lot had not done anything like that, unfortunately. You know, sometimes I wonder when I read this story. His son were praying for Port Harcourt.
And they say, surely Osiris is there.
By now, Port Harcourt has known him. He could stop at 200.
How do you know that?
And the city was through. The question I ask is, if people are talking about you in the city, what is your contribution to the city? Is it righteous? Is it righteousness, brother? Or is it carnality? What is the condition? You know, do you know that? I've traveled a bit, not far, not too wide, but a little bit. I have not seen a city in any part of the world I have gone to that is as churched as Port Harcourt. This is the most churched city per square meter of area in the world. Just take a drive on any street, pick any street, and come out at the end of that street and not count 5 churches on that one street. And yet, nothing has happened. Why is that so? We are not praying much. We are all praying less. And prayerless and praying amiss Christians. That's why. That militants can come and sack a whole city. And Christians are adjusting the meeting time. God will have mercy on all of us. Now let's go to chapter 19. If Abraham stopped there, he really would have tried. But he did not. Verse 23 now. Chapter 19 from 23. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning. This is Abraham now. This is what we call a man that is praying much. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before. Do we have places like that in our homes? Where we have stood before the Lord. Where we can say, this is where I meet with God. Do we have those places? Without turning the place into a shrine. This is where I spoke with God about this matter. He goes there. Verse 28. Then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. Abraham went to check. He said, ask and keep asking until you seek and keep seeking until you. Verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that what happened? God remembered. Please, what saved Lot? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. When did God remember Abraham? Was it that morning? That night. That evening when Abraham stood. Part of the problem we have as believers is we are in too much of a hurry when it comes to answers. So if we don't see the answer now, you say God is not going to then walk away. Meanwhile, what God is working out, you don't know. When you get up to go to a restaurant, do you know when you start cooking? You just go there and eat the food. But they've been preparing it from before you even say they are going to eat, they have been preparing. There are many things that God wants to do on the earth. Honestly speaking, we will get to heaven. If we do, I will be weeping. Because we will see the times when the Holy Spirit woke us up. I say, pray. We will wake up and say, pray. I've gotten that job. I've gotten that business. There's no threat or sack. Let me sleep. There's nothing to do. Because it doesn't concern us. Because we're not moved. Meanwhile, many of these things will concern you. I'm sure you heard the story of the rats who went and announced to the other animals in the farm that the farmer had bought a mouse trap. And the animal said, what's our business with mouse trap? Say, farmer, the one who will enter it. We don't live in the house. Then at night, the farmer's wife accidentally stepped on the trap and cut off her leg. And then she bled to death. So while he was sorrowing and dying, people were now coming to visit him. That was how he turned on the other animals and was killing them one by one to take care. And you didn't hear of that story? I've given you one story now. The thing that you are supposed to be praying about, you don't know whether it will turn around and hit you. You don't know. You may think it's none of your business. But when the Holy Spirit is waking you up and saying, pray, brother, pray. He knows why he's waking you up. Many years ago, the Holy Spirit woke me up to pray. And as I was praying, it was becoming a difficulty.
And he said I should wake up my friend's wife. I was still in my friend's house. My friend had traveled. So I woke up my friend's wife. So I woke her up and said, please come, let us pray together. So we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Prayed until I had a breakthrough in my spirit. Then I asked God, as we were praying, Lord, why are we praying this prayer? And there was a carpet in the house. So he said, look at the carpet. I looked at the carpet. He said, can you explain the design? I said, I can't. He said, good. That's the answer. Okay. So after the prayer, my friend's wife asked me, Ray, what are we praying about? I said, look at the camera. She looked and said, do you understand the design? I said, no. I said, that's it. That's okay. Let's translate. It is when we get to heaven that we understand why we pray that prayer. That's right. Do you understand?
A number of times we want to know why I pray this prayer. And then we miss on what God wants to do in somebody's life or in our life. For all you care, we're praying about the safety of the husband coming home. We don't know. For all we care, we're praying about 10 years from now. We don't know. We always want to understand what we're praying about.
And prayer is not like that. The man who wants to understand everything is going to pray less and not going to pray more. So let's summarize. The prayerless Christian is not persistent in prayer. He does not prevail in prayer. He easily gives up in prayer. He exhibits little or no faith in prayer. He may only pray in church and whenever he's in trouble. That's actually how many of us pray. We don't invest in prayer. We just release prayer to solve problems. We are like, what do you call them now? Firefighters. One fire has sprung up, we quickly fight it. One fire has been, we quickly fight it. A believer in Christ, a Christian, must be proactive. The prayerless Christian is reactive. He reacts to things. If you are given to prayer, let me tell you what will happen. You'll be praying and you don't know that huddles are being removed. When you are praying less, you walk, you get to a huddle. Father, in the name of Jesus, huddle, get out. Huddle, get out. Yeah. You are making that. Meanwhile, the man who had been praying regularly, he will just come and walk past. Now, you thought that man was wasting time when he was praying, right? And you were moving on. But you got to the first hurdle, and that's where you stopped. He was wasting time, according to you, praying. But the moment he started moving, by the time you are scaling that hurdle, you have several other hurdles in front of you. Because you pray only based on hurdles. That's what is going to happen. But he had cleared the way long ago. And so he's walking. It's not about how fast you are moving. It's about how you get to the end that matters. I don't know if you've seen marathons. Some people will start very fast. But wait till the end. You now see many of them have fallen by the way. There's a persistence and a consistence and an insistence that gets you to the end in prayer. You don't pray only because there's a problem. Now you pray. No. Wake up in the morning. Invest in prayer. Invest 1 to 2 hours every day. I mean every day in prayer. You don't know what to pray about? Pray in tongues. Worship God. Just keep praying. 1 hour, 2 hours. Every day. No, it doesn't matter what it is. Just talk to God. You will discover that God, after a while, God will look at you and say, this man, okay. You cannot begin to confide in him. Start telling you small, small things. You hear God say, do you know what that scripture means? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. You say, what does it mean? Do you know what it means? It means that God says, no. Let's take it one by one. Effectual. What does effectual mean? You'll be giving God dictionary meaning. That's not the meaning. You will now give him the meaning outside of the dictionary. It is effectual. It's effective. It's a victorious prayer. It gives victory. If you want victory in A, it gives you victory in A. If you want victory in B, it gives you victory in B. It doesn't shoot B when it wants to shoot A. That's effectual. Say, what of a fervency? Fervency is not just the shaking. Fervency is the impact. How do you know there are some things that we shake and they have no impact anywhere? But there are some things you won't notice that they are shaking. But the impact is felt everywhere. There are some cars. When the car starts here, you will hear in mile two. But put the car in here, it can't move. It's making noise. There are some cars, they will start. You wouldn't even hear the sound. But before you can say A or B, they are raised from all that. That's the difference. It's not every noisemaker. It's not every mover that is a shaker. There are people who don't make noise, and yet they are effective. There are churches that you won't even see their billboards. But what they are doing for the kingdom, the ones with billboards where you have life-size photograph of the bishop, they have not done ha. So it's not that. It's the effectiveness in praying that we're talking about here. And God will now begin to explain. By the time you are speaking the word, you know that this one got the word in prayer. I think there's one fellow, I think it was A.W. Tozer, who wrote a particular book, Following Hard After God. If you can find that book, it'd be nice. You don't see those books, but write it, Following Hard After God. I read that book and it changed my life as a Christian. As a young Christian, when I read the book, it completely revolutionized everything about me as a Christian. They said he wrote that book on his knees.
He didn't write it sitting down. He wrote it on his knees. As he was praying, God was telling him what to write. That's how that book was written. Following hard after God.
Books like that, messages like that, they shake everywhere they touch. Look at people like Watchman Nee. When you see those, you know we like those names. You can see the difference between the writings of people like Watchman Nee and the writings of John Maxwell. There's a world of difference. One is carnal, that is the reality. The other one is spiritual, that's the truth. One we all know, the other one none of us can. You can't even understand those readings. Remember what Peter said about Paul? He said, our brother Paul, he writes many things that we don't understand, but they are the truth. Follow it. Read. When we say read books, we're not just going just that people don't read any book. I saw one book the other day, What a Man is Looking for in a Woman. I said, what is this? That's a pastor. A pastor wrote that one. So you sat down. So this is carnality of the highest order. What a man is looking for in a woman. That's what the pastor sat down and wrote. He didn't sit down to write what Christ is looking for in the Christian. So what is it? It's there on the bookshelves. Shook my head and said, we're in trouble. Nobody speaks for God again. Everybody's speaking their own. We look at their faces and say, oh, these people did. I saw one billboard along Churchill. Oil business. It's a church. That's a church. A church oil business. With dollars all over the billboard. So what's going on? I saw another one. Breaking uncommon barriers. Why was uncommon there? What is so uncommon about the barrier? A barrier is a barrier. It's to be broken.
There's one film I like, James Bond film. Goldfinger. This is a villain, a criminal. He was talking about breaking into a bank. And they said the bank he wanted to break into was Fort Knox, the most well-secured bank in the world, where the gold reserves of the world are kept. So the people around were looking at him, that, are you a bankman? He said, Fort Knox is a bank. A very big bank, but it is a bank. So in other words, if you can break into a bank, we can break into Fort Knox. That was his position. It's the same thing. A barrier is a barrier. The word of God will break any barrier. Don't talk of an uncommon barrier. A barrier is a barrier. It's broken. It's broken. It's breakable. And can be broken. But we elevate. Do you see the way we elevate the wrong things and diminish the right things? Because we are praying less. We're not praying more.
The prayerless Christian prays just to get some relief, but not complete victory. All he prays for is to get relief. Once there's small relief, the prayer has stopped. Reminds me of the story of the man who had toothache. You know, toothache start on Friday night most times. And then there was Saturday, there was Sunday. He tried to use plier to pull it out. The thing was not working. Monday morning, bam! He was at the dentist. When he got there, he waited and he wanted to jump into the dentist. And then he realized that some people had appointments dating from last week, the previous week. So he had to wait. Then, when he was stoned and he ran, jumped into the dentist chair. He was just waiting for them to take it. The dentist looked at him and said, we can't take this thing out. If we take it now, it's going to damage a lot of things. So let me recommend some drugs for you. Antibiotics that he needed to take, some painkillers and so on. So they recommended the drugs and gave it to him. And he went in. He was supposed to return 5 days after. But after taking the drugs for 2-3 days, the pain had gone. He didn't remember to go to the dentist. He had relief. So he just continued to do what he was doing. Until 3 weeks after. Of course, on another Friday, the pain started. That's how many of us are. We pray only to get temporary relief. And yet, when you pray much, you pray to get total victory. Like God said to the Israelites, Moses said to the Israelites, the Egyptians you shall see them no more forever. That is how God operates. God does not say, the Egyptians you see, you will see 2 or 3 of them later, but no. It was forever. Total annihilation. The flesh that we are struggling with, if we are prayed as we should pray, we should see them no more forever. Honestly speaking, the flesh should be dead. Should be completely dead. Be dealt with. The prayerless Christian does not fully utilize nor experience the power of God that is resident in him. Let me let you understand one thing today. That if you are a child of God, if you are born again, there's power in you. Did you hear me? Lately, I've had to deal with the matter of diabetes in a loved one. And I've had to deal with, talk to doctors about the situation. And the doctors say that diabetes, simply put, is sugar in the body that is not entering the bloodstream to allow the body to process it. That's what diabetes is all about. I think they call that one type A. And there's a lot of sugar in the body, but the body is not able to use it because it's not entering the bloodstream. That's type A diabetes. The power of God is like this. It's stored in your body, but it must not be released in prayer.
Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I think we won't sang it today. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we...
Please, Umba, Madam, sing it.
Ever ask or think. Exceedingly, abundantly, all things... Are you saying they gave us all things? That's the one they know. The one they gave us to enjoy. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, that is to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, right? According to the power that is that works where?
The power is inside.
God cannot do anything exceedingly abundantly above, beyond that which you ask or think, if that power is dormant. It's like sugar in the body. You must find a way of releasing that power. Then you see that power. The prayerless Christian is unable, therefore, to experience the fullness of the power of God which is stored in. When you become born again, the Spirit of God comes as, you know, my Bible says, it's like a down payment, a deposit in you. It's up to you to release that power. There are many powerful Christians that are powerless because they are praying less. The power of God in us is released in the place of much prayer, in the place of persistent prayer, in the place of prayer. That's why the Bible says Elijah was a man like you. This, in fact, you have more power than Elijah had. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, that of all the men born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. And the least in the kingdom is greater than that John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is greater than Abraham, greater than Elijah, greater than Elijah, greater than Moses, greater than David, John the Baptist. And the least in the kingdom is greater than that John. I don't know if you are like me, but you know, sometimes when I read those things, I ask, so how come we are not seeing it? And this is the answer. There is a power in us that is not released. And like diabetes, if you don't take action that you should take, what will happen? It kills people because it's not supposed to be dormant. It's not supposed to just sit down there. It's supposed to work. When the sugar in the man's system is released, it enables the man to have energy. He can move around. His body has more features and so on and so forth. But if he's there, it kills the man. Sends the man into a coma at high levels and the man dies. The same thing with many of us. There's so much power. The power of God is resident in us. But to go and pay the price in prayer and release the power is the problem. That's the problem. If you take that scripture from verse 15 or 16 thereabout, you will see how we got there. Let me see, take one verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 3 now, 14. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in earth, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. This is not money now. We're talking of according to the abundance of his glory. To be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? In the inner man, in your spirit man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of God which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus, by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. It was coming from a prayer of what God should release to us. I said, God is able to do much more than even he has asked and than he has already asked, according to that power in us. I've told the story before of the man who stayed in the village, who lived in the village, and finally he got a job in an oil company as a top executive. They gave him a company house with a generator, and he began to live there. NEPA took light one day. And what was the usual thing he used in the village? This, what do they call it now? Is it hurricane lamp? No. Hurricane, not lamp. This one that they, atupa, that they put, is just like a coffee tin with wick. There's no glass covering it. They call it bush lamp. Thank you. So he brought his usual bush lamp. Meanwhile, there's a generator in the house. Let me ask you a question. Could he have ironed his clothes with that bushman? Could he have seen very far with the bushman? Could he have operated any air conditioner with the bushman? There was nothing he could have done with that bushman. That's how many of us. We have a generator inside. All that you need is what? Start it. And you will see the power of God. It's called dunamis.
is a power that multiplies as it is used. It keeps multiplying. I don't know.
How many of us did physics here? How many of us did physics? Do you remember the thermodynamics of the coil? Remember the coil? All that, what does that coil need? Just one twist, that's all it needs. It just keeps moving faster and faster. Like we call it AC, that's AC current, alternating current. Just boom, boom, and then it's releasing a lot. That is how the kinetic dam works. They will store the water for a long time and then open it once. And once it turns that propeller and is able to get the coil to one side, that's all. The thing just takes off on its own. So they close the tap again, they close the dam again and store the water. You just need enough force to move that in. And you have electricity supplying many West African countries, including Nigeria. That's the kind of power that the president, it is triggered by prayer, much prayer. They store that water in Kanji for the force, do you understand,
to push the propeller. Your praying is supposed to push the propeller of the power of God in you and release it. Problem with many of us is just by the time we're about to get to the place where the energy is released, like in Joash, we strike, bye, bye, bye. Meanwhile, we should have continued.
As we go to pray, we don't have much time to pray. I want to conclude by letting you know that our victories in the world are first obtained in the spiritual, in the place of prayer. The victories of the Christian that he exhibits, that he experiences and exhibits in this world, are first obtained in the spiritual, in the place of prayer. So, no praying, no victory. Praying amiss, missed victories. Praying less, less victories. Praying always, you are always victorious. The choice is yours. Let us pray. Brethren, there's a power in you, and it must be released. It is activated in the place of prayer. When we are not praying, the power is just there, doing nothing. Many of us are asking, but we are not asking until we receive. We are seeking and not seeking until we find. We are knocking and after a while we get tired. This morning, we want to pray much. Beginning from here, whatever we are doing here is just the start. We are trying to kickstart an engine. We are trying to push a car that has not worked for a long time. Sometimes it will take a longer time to push it to start. But we need to get it to start. We need to get it to warm up. There is so much sleeping in us. So much talking, so much television, so much distraction, so much selfishness. And so it is only when we are unable to pray as we ought to pray. This morning I want you to talk to God. I want you to talk to God. If there is anybody here who needs to repent of sin, I think that's where we should start from. You can just come to the front of the altar here and we'll pray. The rest of us, talk to God. Yet you know that in you there is sin that you need to repent of. Come. Let us pray together here now. If the rest of us, go ahead and talk to God. What is that thing? What is that thing that you have been asking and you have not yet received? And now you say, oh, I'm tired. I cannot pray again. You have not heard God say to you, enough. And then you are stopping. Until God says to you, enough. You don't stop. You keep praying. You keep, because there is no alternative to the power of God. There is no alternative to the power of God. It's either the power of God or nothing else. No man can resolve a problem that only God can resolve. You can go to all the men of God in the world, it will not resolve the problem. Because only God can resolve that problem. Basking in a corporate victory is not the kind of thing that a Christian should enjoy. A Christian should be part of the corporate victory. You are supposed to be victorious along with your brothers in the place of prayer. So as you are praying, you are victorious along with them because they are also praying. It's not that they will pray and you will now come and bask in that victory. Let's talk to God this morning. Let's talk to God this morning. Just say, Father, the grace to prevail in prayer. Oh, as Jacob prevailed. As your children of old prevailed. As Abraham prevailed. As Jacob prevailed. As Elijah prevailed. As they all prevailed in the place of prayer. My Father, my God, grant me the grace. Grant me the grace, Lord, to prevail in prayer. To prevail in prayer. To become a praying much Christian, to move from being a prayerless Christian, to move out of being a praying amiss Christian, to move away now from being a praying less Christian, to get to the place of being a praying much Christian. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. There is a much that is to be availed by many of us in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer,
Oh, brethren, I know that we want to pray quietly, but I think this is the time that we must come in a concerted effort and cry to heaven and knock the gates of heaven until there is an opening unto us of the things that we ask. Remember, the Bible says, God knows what we are asking for before we even ask, but He wants us to ask. He will not open that gate. He will not open the heavens. There's a prayer that says, rend the heavens, that the heavens be opened, Almighty and everlasting God, as your children cry. But it is in much praying. It's not in less praying. It's in much praying. Brother, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's rise and pray. Let's talk to the living God this morning. Makatalika broso kondorehe. Makataya rekekekeke. Robodoreke makandalika broso toreke. Makataya rekabrakataleke. Whatever the challenge is that has put you down, today is the day that you will arise above that challenge and take authority in the name of Jesus. Makatalika broso kondorehe. What is that weakness that has kept you captive, that has rendered you captive, that is holding you back? Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day that you must overcome. Jacob had a challenge. Esau was that challenge. He had his own methods, and his method was not working until he met with the living God. And by the grace of God, he prevailed with God. God said, therefore, you prevail with men. And indeed, he prevailed. Indeed, he prevailed. You must first get your victories in the spiritual, then you will see them manifest in the physical. If you don't get victories in the physical when you are not praying in the spiritual, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that. There must first be a victory in prayer in the spiritual, and then you will see that thing manifesting in the physical. It doesn't work any other way. It doesn't work any other way. The victories that we enjoy in the physical, the victories that the Christian enjoys here in the world, are victories that first came as a result of meeting with God in the place of prayer. Talk to God. Get your victories in the place of prayer. And I assure you that as those victories come, you will see them manifesting in the physical. But first there must be a victory in the place of prayer. First there must be a breakthrough. Like Elisha told that king. He said, you should have continued to hit the ground. You should have continued at least 5 or 6 times. Why did you stop 3? Now you're only going to get 3 victories. And that was all he got, 3 victories. Brethren, it's time to get total victory. Total victory in the place of prayer. Total victory in the place of prayer. Victory in every area of your life. Total and complete victory. Until you hear from God saying, I have heard you. You shouldn't stop praying. You need to continue to pray. Even when you get home, you should make out time and spend quality time praying on a daily basis. I am talking of at least 2 hours every day. If it means waking up long at night, which means you need to go to bed very early, wake up very early and begin to pray. And you will see how God will be giving you victories. Victories in the physical. They don't come any other way, my brother, my sister. They don't come. I can pronounce all the pronouncements I want to make. You still need to get into praying. You still need to pray much for those things to be released. They are powers that come in, but they just stay there stalled. They stay unmanifesting. Meanwhile, there's a release that God wants you to do in the place of praying. And He has given you the grace. He has empowered you by His Spirit to keep praying. To keep praying. Makatalika broso kondorehe. Reketeleke makatayarekeke brokotoleke. Masakandalika brakandalehe. Makotolika brokotoleke. Rekekeke makatayarekeke. Bragadalika makondorekeke. Brogodoleke magadayarekeke. Brasakatalika makotorekeke. Brogodoleke magadayarika broso kondoreke. Rekekeke makatayarekeke. Brakandalika makotoreke. Brethren, there is a power in you that you need to release in the place of prayer. The power of the Holy Ghost is in you. It's time to release it in the place of prayer. Release that power in the place of prayer. Stop using hurricane lamp when you can use a generator. Stop using hurricane lamp when there is a dam waiting to supply you with electricity. The dam of heaven is waiting to release things to you. But you must put your own effort in that prayer. And really, that effort is from God. That's why you pray in the spirit. It is in the spirit that these things are released. Brethren, release the power of God that is in you. Release the power of God that is in you. As you pray to God, as you cry to God, as you knock until the door is open, as you seek until you find, as you keep on asking until you receive, as you keep asking until you receive appropriate results from heaven. Elijah was a man like you. He had his challenges. He had his problems. He had his difficulties. And yet he prayed. And the heaven stopped his rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And rain was released. Even after God had prophesied, after God had spoken that rain was going to come, there were things that needed to be done. Elijah did everything and persevered and persisted and insisted, and he prevailed ultimately. You can prevail. The same can happen to you. The same is possible. The same is what God has for you. In fact, in a better dimension. Because you have all the resources that heaven has put in you by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's time to release it. It's time to release it in the place of prayer. Makatalika rogodolege. Rekekekeke makatalika brasakandalege. Magodoreke bragadalege. Rekendelege magadayarika brosokondolege. Rekakakagalika makotoreke. Rogodolege magadayarekeke. Brasakandayarika makondorekeke. Rogodolege magadayareke. Rogodolege magadayarika. Masokoto leke makata yarekekeke. Brakanda leke magada yarekekeke. Brosokondo leke magada yarekekeke. Rekata lika makoto rekekeke. Brogodo leke magada yarekekeke. Rekende leke magada yarekekeke. Brogodo leke magada yarekekeke. Brasakanda yarekekeke makata yarika brogodo leke. Rekende leke makata yarekeke. Brasakanda yarika brogodo leke. Rekekekekekeke. Makotorika brogodolege, rekendeleke magada ya rekeke, brokotolekeke, brokondolege magada ya rekeke, brogodolege magada ya rika braka kakaleke, makotorekekekekekekekeke. Brother, let us push in the place of prayer. Makatalika braka kakaka, rekendeleke magada ya reke, brokokokokoleke, rika kakalika makondoleke. Enough of telling people your problem. It's time to go to God and say, Lord, this is the challenge that I'm facing. Let us solve this thing together. Makatayarika bragadaliki. Rekekekekeke. Makotorika brogondoliki. Enough of your methodologies. It has not solved the problem at all. Why don't you turn to the King of Kings? Why don't you turn to the Lord of Lords and begin to seek His face and seek His counsel concerning the solution to that problem? It is not insurmountable. There is no problem that is better than the problem solver. Heaven is looking for men that will persist in prayer. Heaven is looking for men that will prevail in prayer. Heaven is looking for men that will insist on the word of God in prayer. Men that are consistent in the place of prayer. Men that will stand before God in the place of prayer. Men that will become intercessors. Men who, when they hear information, will take it back to God in the place of prayer. Men that are selfless.
It is time to deal with your flesh. It is time to deal with the carnality that is in you. In the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. In the place of prayer.
Makoto rekekeke. Bragadalika makandaya rekekeke.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's not something we just say. It's something that is overcome. Something that is achievable in the place of praying much. In the place of praying much. You pray until you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
You pray until you are strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God.
You pray until God gives you the assurance of total victory here on earth, total victory in the physical, until there is an assurance that your eternity is settled. Until that full assurance comes, you don't allow yourself to get to the place where you are doubting. Otherwise the devil will derail you. I tell you the truth. There must be that confident assurance that you know that you are saved. That you know, that indeed eternity is yours. No matter what, because you know that God is on your side to give you the victory. Brethren, cry to God this morning. Let us prevail in the place of prayer. Let us prevail even in the little time that we have. That God will quicken in us that energy of His that is in us, that power of His that is in us, and cause us to become people who release that power. Even in the world that we are in, people who are victorious in every area.
Makatalika broso kondoreke, rekekekekeke makatayareke, rogodoreke magadarekekeke, makatayarekekeke, broso kotolika makotoreke, brakataleke makandayarekekeke.
Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
The only reason why we have stopped this prayer is because of time. Because we have to leave here in the next 10 minutes. That's the reason why we are stopped. I'm going to encourage you, catch this fire. Go home and go and begin to fire. Go and begin to fire. If you did physics, you will know there is what is called potential energy and there is kinetic energy. What is potential energy? It is the energy that is waiting. It has not yet been released. It's there. When you put a ball, if I raise this glass up now, this glass as it is up here has what? Potential energy. Based on the height, the gravity and its weight. But the energy does nothing until what? I release it. Many of us have potential energy. We have energy to be victorious over the devil. But it is not released. It is not released by word. It is released in prayer. It is not released by conversation. It is released in prayer. We need to release these things. And God has stored everything in there. That's why it grieves God a lot of times. When He sees His children being beggarly. When the power is there. The power to be successful. When I say successful, according to God's standards, the power to be victorious in all that God wants you is in you. It's not coming from anywhere else. In fact, the reason why you are here is so that we can tell you how to get it released in the place of prayer. And as you pray, it is released. Completely released. And you begin to manifest as a child of God. That's why you hear the Bible says that the whole of creation is waiting in expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God should manifest because the power to manifest is in them.
But it's not being released because we are not praying.
We are not praying as we should pray.
We are not praying as we should pray. The other day, my wife was watching something on is it YouTube, of a lady, a young girl, whom God said, God told her that, I want to use you. And God told her to start praying 18 hours, right?
8 hours every day.
Because he wanted to use her. Now, if God wanted to use a small girl and was asking for 8 hours every day of prayer, how much more will he? If God is going to use her, you think it's just 15 minutes prayer that we just pray now?
No. He's in much prayer. And there is a lot that he wants to do.
Don't look at anybody else. Some people just have name on earth. They have no name in heaven. They may be known by men. They are not known by God. You may not be known by men, but you are known by God.
And God wants to, there are some things he wants to display. He cannot give it to this. They have failed him. So he's looking for ordinary men. He's looking for people who don't want name. He's looking for people who are not proud. People who don't even want it. He's looking for them. And he says, can you please tell them to release the power so that they can receive what it is that I have?
Because if you have not released anything, why would God give you something? Something else, man. Why would he give you something? So I want to encourage you. Go and start praying now.
Let's become people who pray much and who avail much. Enough of the praying less.
And then we come back, we are just browbeating. Man of God, you have to join me in prayer. What is that? The man of God has his own prayer points too.
Let's all go and stand in the place of prayer.
And the Lord will help us all in Jesus' name.